owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Any other commandment are summed up in this word: love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Did you know that the concept of debt and payment of said debt was one of the hallmarks of building civilization? There have been a series recently on National Geographic, and one of them shows what were the things that were necessary, you know, after we discovered fire and the wheel. And debt was one of those things because it allowed people to trade in the future tense. Before that, it couldn't be done. There's a new video game called Forge of Empires. You may have seen the ads on TV. I have not played the game. But it's almost an aha moment in the character in the game when they figure out that they can give something for something else and in the future be paid back. I received an email recently telling us how we can get out of debt tomorrow. Of course, it involved borrowing from them and paying off all my debts. That is sort of like using your MasterCard to pay your Visa card, isn't it? Okay, we agree then up front. It's a good thing to pay your debts. Question: what is our debt to God? When I wrote this sermon and gave the title, I surely was going to just use kind of the generic building picture on the front of the bulletin. You'll see this. And after she printed the bulletin, we neither of us, she brought it into me and she said, "Are you really sure this is the message that you want to convey?" And it's our building with under it the debt. But I wasn't going to waste the $8 that we spent in printing the bulletin. So. What is our debt to God, and how do we pay it? Is our debt to God our tithes and offerings each week? Is that our debt to God? Is our debt to God our offering so that we can pay off our mortgage quicker? In the ancient days, high priests paid the people's debt to God with burnt offerings and sacrifices and incense. They believed that God liked the smell of the incense. Here's your 25-cent word for today. I bought and paid for these in seminary, so you're going to get them whether you like them or not. Anthropomorphizing. Yeah, you will astound your friends if you just bring that up in conversation. You know what that means? Sarah, those of you who aren't aware, whenever I ask a question, and by the way, none of my questions are rhetorical. I want your feedback. But it's always Sarah who beats everyone else to the answer. But you're right. It literally means making God human. The Old Testament, when it talks about the mighty arm of God in the Old Testament, or even more extreme, is God is a man of war in the Old Testament. That is one of the extreme examples of anthropomorphizing. Jesus sets that straight, doesn't he? In John, what does he say about the very being of God? God is... That's another John, but you're right. In the letters of John, it says that. In the Gospels, God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. So all of the ancient religion that we inherited of bringing offerings or lighting candles or burning incense in some of our sisters and brothers' Christian faith, we don't understand the nature of God like that, do we? God is essence. God is being. When he told Moses what his name was, what did he say? Who did he say sent Moses? I am. Orthodox Christian theology is built upon the premise that in some mysterious way, Jesus' death on the cross paid a debt that we couldn't possibly pay ourselves. We call that atonement, do we not? And that was their understanding of Old Testament sacrifice. I saw an explanation of that word once, and it really stuck with me. In addition to understanding atonement as atoning for a sin, understand atonement as at-one-ment. Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection was to bring us to God, was it not? At one moment, Paul understands that our debt to God can only be paid in one way. In his Jewish background, Paul learned that the way to please God, to pay our debt to God, if you will, was in keeping the law. You remember several times he talks about that he was blameless under the law. He was a super Pharisee. He was an Uber Jew. And he was so fanatical that he was actually trying to hunt down and persecute this new bunch of Christians who spread this crazy notion. And Saul thought he had to help get rid of it. Well, on the way to Damascus, he was changed forever, wasn't he? And in that same instant, his understanding of what it meant to please God changed. And so in this beautiful passage, that the only way we can pay our debt is with love. Jesus says that in summing up all of the commandments, you only need the words, love God and your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, before we can love our neighbor, and Jesus puts it in that in order, before we can love our neighbor, we must first love ourselves. And somehow we think that sounds sort of narcissistic, don't we? But that's not what I mean. It means to really love yourself, you must begin with self-acceptance. We tend to be harder on ourselves than anyone else can be if you're truthful about it. Have you ever had one of those dark nights of the soul when you couldn't go to sleep and you fretted over everything? Have you messed up in life? Me too. Have you ever disappointed those whom you love? Me too. Have you done something this past week that looking back on, you're not too proud of? Come on. Me too. In fact, it happened on the way here. Mary Louise had to browbeat me into being polite to another driver. Thanks, honey. I needed that. I wouldn't call it browbeat. Mary Louise, you know, is not capable of browbeating. Success in life is getting knocked down, and I mean mostly by our own actions, those things that we cause. Success in life means getting knocked down 9 times and getting up how many times? 10. There's an old prayer went something like this. Lord, I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't what I'm gonna be. But thank you, Lord, I ain't what I used to be. Love yourself because simply you are a beloved child of the Creator of the universe. How dare you declare a beloved child of the Creator of the universe, you, unlovable? And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. How are we going to do that? Several things I can think of right off hand. First of all, we've got to leave behind our tribal prejudices. And we all have them. If you went to Ohio State, you do not like Michigan. Ohio State got beat this week, by the way. I'm sorry. Have I taken an oath not to preach football from the pulpit here? They made me take that oath at Taylor Lake. Yeah, I didn't even want to go there because then it gets into my own tribe, doesn't it? But we must leave behind our tribal prejudices. We must learn about our neighbors. We're going to do some of that in not too long. We must try to walk in their sandals. Not just intellectually learn about them, but really feel what it means to be a neighbor. And then finally, as the swoosh says, just do it. FCCC, or as I like to say, FC3, came into being to be an outpost of God's love. That is what we were created as a church to do, just do it. Just do it. Amen.